Thank you.
Okay, right here. Okay. My name is Caleb. This was my fifth time going to the conference, but it felt like it was a very long time due to not being able to go. I'll just go ahead and share. So I have sort of...
Just two main points kind of stood out to me of how to practically live in this world that we live in as young people, but honestly, all of us can apply this. The first one is just the Holy Spirit opens the Word of God. I think to really know the Lord, when the theme verse of "Gather to Me, My Faithful Ones," you have to know who you're gathering to. And it was just something that we've heard before, something I think many of us know, but it was a reminder of, do I really practice that? Do I really let the Holy Spirit open His Word, open the Lord's Word to me? And also in the conference, we had many workshops that focused on very practical elements of different voices that we hear in this world. It's a very noisy world that we live in. And there was one workshop that was even just talking about digital media and how loud that can be and how even detrimental it can be to our spiritual walk with the Lord. And I was just thinking about how the Holy Spirit, we have to be quiet before Him. We have to be listening to that voice of truth. It was mentioned in the workshop, and many of the messages spoke on this matter of just listening to the Holy Spirit to open His Word. And then the last point that really touched me, it was said in a message, but it was also practically lived out through our worship times. It was, worship brings rest. Worshiping the Lord brings rest. First of all, I was very touched by the worship times that we were able to have of just young people willing to worship the Lord in whatever capacity it may be. It may have been three words of prayer. It may have been a couple sentences. It may have been offering a song, standing during a song. Whatever it was, the Lord was truly pleased. I have faith in my heart that He was, and it was an encouragement to me, to the adults, to each other, of just this desire to worship the Lord. And the point that was made was that worship brings rest. Often in this world, we're very focused on ourselves. The voices of this world, the voices, what we see on media, in media, it's very us-oriented. It's very focused on us. But that worshiping the Lord is a wonderful recentering of our focus is the Lord. That's who we serve. And I just appreciate that reminder that, you know, I think it's very easy to get mixed up, to get focused on ourselves. And the importance of worship, even in simplicity. I really appreciate that time.
Amen.
Hello everyone, my name is Jason. Most of you guys know me, but if you guys don't, hello. My sharing today is similar to what I shared during the testimony time in Toronto, but thank Matthew, our time limit went from 2 minutes to five, so I can elaborate a little bit. Thank you. So one of my main focuses this conference was really about friendship. And once again, referring back to what Chip said at the airport before we flew to Toronto, like, sit next to people we didn't know, sit next to people that we can make friends with. And this one final phrase that he said, the friends that you make here will be the ones that last a lifetime. And me, being someone who's been moving schools pretty often, three elementary schools, three middle schools, and one high school, and possibly one college as well, I can pretty much say I'm pretty familiar with, I guess, the levels of how strong your friendships are with your friends. And I can definitely say that me spending a week with these brothers and sisters from all over was much more valuable than all of my entire school years of me having friends with different people from different schools. And saying goodbye to them on the last day was kind of painful, especially the people from New York who I stuck with most of, if not the entire conference time. And they actually had to leave early because they drove, and they couldn't stay with us the extra day, and I was disappointed. But then I realized that our time together with these brothers and sisters, they're not going to fade. These memories will stay, and especially during the worship times. I remember I was sitting with my New York friends, and our friendship was really strong in the Lord, that one by one, our entire row shared. Those who didn't share before, those who shared before, and those who were really quiet at times. I really did experience how the Lord does work between these friendships of brothers and sisters, and especially during worship's time, like Caleb said, there were just some amazing moments to where we were all just standing up, singing, praising the Lord, and sometimes we would even fight over picking songs because there were just so many to pick from. And I unfortunately wasn't able to pick mine, but I was glad that another sister was able to pick hers. And even though, you know, we are separated, some, like Matthew said, some in California, some in Washington, some in Toronto, some in New York, some in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, even though we're all separated, we are connected, and we all are together under the Christ, under our Lord. And if I have one thing to recommend out of Toronto is, one, get out of your comfort shell, and two, don't be afraid to make friends, because everyone around you is similar and identical to you, because we are all in the Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
Alright, so I just want to... Oh, my name is Timothy. Hello. I just want to open up with John 3:16-17.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And so, in one of our morning messages, we were, like, going through so many things. Like, this conference was jam-packed full of so many blessings and so many words of encouragement and wisdom that just spoke to my heart. But this one, in particular, kind of stuck with me until the end, and also beyond. So, just three words. Conviction is not condemnation. Conviction is not condemnation. And just listening to that, the speaker explained, I believe it was Albert Chu. The speaker, he explained that when the Lord convicts us of something, when maybe it's a sin that we have done in the past, the Lord tells us, like, hey, like, that was a sin. You should confess that, right? And repent before me. That's not God condemning us. And sometimes I take that conviction as, oh no, the Lord's going to punish me. Oh no, like, I should hide, you know? And so often I do hide my sin. I run away from God. And I fail to realize that the Lord is loving, and the Lord is grace, and his mercy. And so, yeah, just that small phrase, conviction is not condemnation, it really stuck with me. And really, the Lord came here to save us, and not to condemn us to death. But through his life, through his victory, we are saved. So, praise God for his mercy to us. And so.
Just this little section that stood out to me before we even left, and it was Acts 2:25. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. And I guess for some reason that verse just stood out to me like the whole conference. But I think it was our first evening, our message, he kind of opened it up with like what Emmanuel meant. And it's God with us, and it kind of relates to our summer conference too. So I thought it's pretty special. And he continued by saying, our security is in the Lord. And I just realized that even before the conference started, I already saw like something God had shown me, because just the first message was already based on like the passage that stood out to me the most. And as the conference went on, I guess God with us continued to get stronger. Like, you could definitely feel his presence within us. And I guess my biggest takeaway from the conference was worship and fellowship and the connection between the two. So one of the messages, I think it was also what Timothy said, they talked about conviction and how the Lord convicts those who love him and uses the Holy Spirit to open the Word of God for direction. And he also went on to say how fellowship was one of the most basic forms of worship, and it basically builds each other up, because I guess once you meet someone who's a brother or sister in Christ, you just keep going up and your spiritual levels like compete with each other, I guess. And it was just really touching, because you could definitely feel it happening, where you're surrounded by so many just people with the same problems as you, with the same similarities, where everyone is just growing together. And I guess the most touching part was my roommates. I was roomed with two Jonathans, Corey and Jason, which is pretty cool. But I guess our room leader, he was Jonathan. He's like a musical genius. He's like, he knew every guitar song, so he never had to switch out. And then on the last day, he started playing piano too, which is pretty cool. And I guess I just looked up to him a lot, because he was like, he was still young, but he was like really wise, and he wrote most of the morning devotions. And one morning we talked about how we're like tea leaves or tea seeds, and how we're withered, tossed, bruised, heated, crushed, rolled, and then roasted. And that's like our spiritual walk with the Lord. And in one of the paragraphs it says, there you are gathered with all the other leaves into a new place, but your purpose is still yet to be fulfilled. Because before that day comes, the path ahead is one of testing and sacrifice. And I guess it really stood out to me, because it brought upon like leaps of faith. And that was just on my mind for most of the conference, how most of the times you just have to take one leap of faith and your spiritual growth will just rise exponentially. And I guess mine was prayer. I feel like praying in like huge open settings is a really hard thing to do. It's like harder than sharing for some reason to me. Mm-hmm. And I just thought of that as the biggest leap of faith that I could do there. And I think it's really important how we each have our own leap of faith, whether it be this prayer like mine, or singing worship, sharing during class, or just, you know, accepting God as your Savior. I think all the leap of faiths are like equal importance, but I also realize that it's important also not to lose sight of God, because a lot of time it just becomes like a personal thing where you leave God out of it and you're just doing it for your own happiness. I think that continuing that close connection is really important. And as the end of the conference, at the end of the conference, it was really special, because we had one final worship time in the morning, and it was pretty amazing, because you could definitely feel the Holy Spirit within us, and everybody was just singing louder, there were more prayers, and just looking up, it was so weird, because just from me looking up, I was almost brought to tears, and that was just like a pretty special moment that I guess I'll treasure forever, because it's the feeling of God with you is really a lot. And I guess I can just close with another verse that I forgot who, but they also closed with it. It was Ephesians 3:20-21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, the theme verse of the conference is already mentioned. Was really this phrase from the beginning of Psalm 50, verse 5. Gather to me my faithful ones. And a lot of what was talked about at the conference, actually, was God who is faithful. I was thinking back on it. The first message was God with us, which is a theme I think all of us who went to the conference in San Antonio are pretty familiar with from this summer. And then all of the evening messages were around this theme, the God of our life. So it was really about the Lord as the faithful one when we talked about this thing. And so I began thinking about this word faithful because it was there, and then also in our verse. And naturally, when we think about faith, I went to Hebrews 11 also because we're studying that with the Yes Group. So that was pretty convenient. But just that first phrase of the first verse, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know, it's not something far off, something, you know, one day we can hope to attain to, but it is substance. The Lord is full of substance. And it's substance that we can partake of today. And, you know, the world just keeps throwing things at us. Like, here, take this. And it's always this promise of fulfillment, this promise of satisfaction. The enemy is always, I will. I will do this. Just follow me, and I'll do this for you. But thankfully, the Lord is the I am. When he promises something, he will fulfill it. And not only that, he provides his provision. We can draw of his substance today, even today. And because he is an infinite God, the substance that he provides is full of everlasting depth as well. You know, the things of the world are just so shallow when you think about it. You know, I know when I come home from school or work, first thing I tend to do is try to, like, unwind. So let's get on ESPN, check a few scores, watch a few soccer highlights, because I think that's enjoyable. And then I realize, depending on the scores, I might not be so relaxed anymore, which is sad in itself that I care that much about it. But, you know, it's just, and even if it does, you know, I'm happy with the scores or something like that, you know, it just fades away so quickly. Within a week, if not less, it's just gone. I've completely forgot about it. I have to unwind again. I have to go back to it every day, every time I go to school or work. And it's just gone so quickly. And yet, the Lord's satisfaction is everlasting. And I think this is something that middle schoolers especially have heard a lot about recently. They're reading Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret, which is a great book, by the way. But it's all about, you know, a man who's learning to draw upon the Lord's substance every day, looking to him for all things. And, you know, he looks to that in his own life, but then it's so much more magnificent because it's something corporate as well. And I think, I mean, we've already heard about the worship time, so I won't go into detail on that too much. But as Matthew said, we had to read from Acts. And I was really thankful because it's just been so, you know, prevalent in the last few weeks. It's just always been in the back of my mind, which has been very helpful. But there was that verse, very well-known verse, and all who had believed were gathered together and had everything in common. And while it sounds all warm and fuzzy, legalistic, you know, view of things, you're just like, how is this possible? Because we can always, especially when we're filled with the shallow things of the world, we can always manage to find differences with one another. Like, I'm Caucasian, like 95% of everyone else is not Caucasian, they're Asian. Or some of the younger ones coming in tonight, like, I didn't know we were doing Bible study with a bunch of grandparents. They're so much older than us. But, you know, thank the Lord that, you know, when we are all filled with the substance of Christ, you know, when Christ is everything to me, when Christ is everything to you, then Christ is everything to all of us. And then we can have everything in common because Christ is everything. And it's so wonderful to see how much bigger than ourselves it really is. And so how much more important it is that we stop filling ourselves with these shallow things, because when we fill ourselves with shallow things, then we ourselves are nothing but shallow people. And we have nothing to offer but shallow things as well. But the Lord is doing a great work, and thankfully we don't have to bring ourselves into it, because he says, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it, because what I'm doing, it's of the everlasting substance of Christ. It's of the always prevailing, never failing substance of Christ. So I was just convicted of depending too much upon myself, striving myself to build with the shallow things of the world, just learning to depend on the Lord, look to him in all things, that he will do his work.
Amen.
Hi, my name is Susanna, and I just want to talk about how amazing the Toronto Conference was for me, personally, spiritually, and physically. Throughout the whole week, like, even from just the beginning, it was pretty evident that God's presence was with us. Like, even if we were just singing songs, or just, like, praying, or just talking with one another, I honestly could feel God's presence with us, and it was just amazing, because, like, people from all around the world just came to a place, just a random place, just so that we could get closer to God. But the main thing that I kind of got from the conference was just the idea of hearing God's voice. We had a workshop, like, one of the earlier days, where we would basically each get a journal, and we would basically, like, write down just prayers or just thoughts, just things that we wanted God to hear. And, you know, I'm not sure if it was just the inspirational music in the background that made me cry, but I really was like, it was the first time I actually heard God's voice, and I was actually able to just see, like, how unconditional his love is, and just, like, how much we really should give to him. And we had a theme song, it's called The Lighthouse, or My Lighthouse, and part of the lyrics goes, "Your great love will lead me through, you are the peace in my troubled sea, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. My lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore." And I really do think these lyrics are applicable, because especially after the conference, it's like, the Lord loved us, so we should love him back. And it just shows how much faith and love we really need in him. And I'm just sending things off. Water's not wet. Thank you.
Amen. Wait, not.
So the central thing around my sharing was also based on conviction versus condemnation. And one verse that actually came from Brother Chip's message, it was Wednesday morning, came from Psalm 139, verse 8. It says, "If I make my bed in hell, you are there." And, like, that's just a really powerful verse. I don't know about you, but it was just something that, I wrote it down, but I'd, like, never really, like, or, like, the magnitude, I guess, of that verse never really, it didn't really hit me until, like, after the conference. And so, what was it, this way? Anyways, it's like, so, I initially, like, when the time to, like, sign up to go to Toronto came around, I was a little bit more reluctant to go, because I would say, like, I didn't really have, like, the best time last time there was in Toronto, but you know, I signed up, and I was, I guess, really blessed, like, with the opportunity to go. And this time, like put, for some reason they put me in, like, the old people group, and with all, like,
it's not for some reason
I was blessed to be put in the old people group. And like all their workshops and everything, it was great. And but I was also blessed like with the opportunity, I guess, to serve a little bit more. And but like throughout the entire conference, I guess, it's that heart to serve. It's just something that I guess I was kind of struggling with the entire time, and came to our testimony time on Thursday. So the way that works is like a bunch of people, like whoever wants to share goes up and shares. And we had a brother from Texas. He shared about something that like I did that personally touched him. And it was at that moment, it was like something that I never realized, because I was just kind of existing like throughout this conference the entire time. I was kind of just doing my thing, like doing the right thing, doing the thing that like, you know, God, like God look at me, I'm doing the right thing kind of thing. And so all the questions just started flooding in. It's like the questions of like my own pride. It's like, how could God like touch this brother, even though like I haven't felt touched in the same way? And it's just like all this question, all this confusion just started coming in. And it's like something that also from Brother Albert that he said was that he was referring to the passages in 1 Corinthians where like Paul was talking about like gifts of like the gifts of service and stuff like that. And Brother Albert made a point where it's like the gifts that we have to give are containers, should be containers for the fruit of the Spirit. And that was also something that I just wrote down, never really thought about. But I'm like reflecting back like on my service, like even like not even like throughout Toronto, but also like throughout like high school, it's just like I've never been like convicted so much about like filling up these jars, filling up these containers of service with my own pride and with my own like, I don't know what else to say about that, but it was just something that like, it was just like, it broke me for like for the first time in a long time when I got back home. It was like, it broke me. I was like tearing up, and I was talking to a brother, and he was like, something that like really I'm thankful for, I guess, is that just how like good God is, and just how forgiving he is after all of this. And it was just something that like impacted me the most and spoke to me the most and throughout this conference. And it was just like it was the most touching thing to me, just feeling that conviction and feeling that need to confess after like so long. So yeah.
I don't know how it got here.
Okay, so my name is Cynthia, and I am a rising sophomore. And I just wanted to share about worship and how, like, the Toronto conference changed my view of worship. And probably my favorite part of the conference was definitely the open times of worship, because we were being surrounded by so many other people my age, and just seeing how freely and eager they opened their mouths and praised and worshiped God was so encouraging. And it made me realize that worship wasn't just for the old people on Sunday mornings. And before the conference, worship was at table meeting where all the adults would give really long prayers. And I would just sit there thinking about other things. However, during the conference, whether it was just a sentence or reading a verse from the Bible, so many young people praised and worshiped God with a simplicity in their whole heart, and it really lit a fire in my heart as well. And I could feel the presence of the Lord and the Holy Spirit moving through all of us. And on Wednesday night, Brother Chip shared a message about worship, and he mentioned how we were created to worship something. And as I examined my heart and after the social media workshop, I realized that so many other things filled that place of worship for God, including social media. And I was spending way more time on my phone than with God. And it was really hard for me to give it up, but thanks to the strength of the Lord and the encouragement of my friends at the conference, I deleted most of my socials. And also with some of my friends at the conference, we're holding each other accountable. Even though my accountability partner, Andrew, has re-downloaded TikTok a few times to make gym videos. But the other thing I really appreciated was that Brother Chip mentioned that worship is vertical to God, not to the people around us. And in a big group, I'm very self-conscious about how I prayed, and that usually prevented me from even opening my mouth, even inside the high school group. But worship is only unto God, and it's vertical, not horizontal. And oftentimes I would tell myself that someone else could pray and I could stay silent and say amen. But each portion is key, and we shouldn't devalue it at all. In 1 Peter 2:5-9 say, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light." And how could I stay silent after God's eternal love for me and his sacrifice on the cross? I offered up my self-consciousness and put it aside to praise him out loud. So I encourage everyone, even after the conference, or if you didn't go, to have this eager heart on fire to worship God, and not to be discouraged, because when you unmute yourself and simply offer up praise and worship, you will find rest in him.
Amen.
Hi, my name is Emily. I'm also a rising sophomore. This conference was really an amazing experience for me of, like, meeting the Lord and really getting to see other young people whose hearts are ready for God. Seeing everyone worship openly, pray, like, with so much simplicity yet with so much sincerity, and, like, not being afraid to share during discussions really helped me and encouraged me to be less self-conscious and do the same. I guess everyone's been talking about worship, and I guess I want to talk about that too. Those times were really, like, the most precious to me, when everyone was singing and, like, praying and worshiping God with their whole hearts. Like, you could really feel and sense the Holy Spirit was, like, in the room, and you can really feel the Holy Spirit, like, filling everyone's hearts. And it was really such a joyful time to do that with people my age. And I can't really describe that feeling because God is indescribable, but it was such a joyful time and so precious and beautiful. I also got to see the Lord putting people in my life that, like, I could talk to and be mentored by. And not only did I find those people, I was able to know other people who were going through the same circumstances as me, or and like I got to really talk to them and be an encouragement to them, and I really experienced the body of Christ and how brothers and sisters are just there for each other in whatever circumstance. And on the last day of the conference, the brother shared some things to conclude, and one thing he mentioned was expectations after the conference. We should expect difficulty, disappointment, and deliverance. Of course, it's so hard to go back to normal life after a conference. We should expect hardships. We will go through valleys, even through the valley of the shadow of death. But he shared a verse from 2 Corinthians 12:10, which says, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Everything the brother shared was really true for me when I came home. I felt changed and all that. Like, I really felt the Lord was with me and all that stuff. But I was also met with challenges. I won't go into detail about what I went through, but after so much prayer and sacrifice, and also the help from brothers and sisters, I felt God's deliverance, and he gave me a clear answer and really the comfort in him, and I didn't feel so weak and powerless. I knew God had it all under his control, and I entrusted the whole matter to him. Just that whole experience strengthened me and my relationship with God, and it was a taste of his continued work in my life. The brother also said that no matter where we are, even in that valley of the shadow of death, always remember the one who goes before you. He is our great shepherd, and he's with you through the fire and the flood. But he will not just go in with us, but he will lead us through, like, all the way. Like, he's not going to go in with you and stop. He's going to lead you all the way through. And that was such an encouragement to me, and, like, that assurance that he's with you all the time, and you don't have to go through it alone. But yeah, that the conference was such a blessing for me, and I really was able to meet the Lord, and it really strengthened my faith in him.
Hi, my name's William, and actually before, I didn't want to share, so I was just planning to go sit in my car and hope Ruby doesn't snitch on me. But I guess now thinking back at it, before I went to the Toronto conference, I really didn't want to go, and I was thinking to myself, no way, I only have like 3 more weeks of summer, and one of the weeks I'm turning in my phone to go worship God. But really just looking back at it, it really taught me a lot of things, and one of them was how much God loves us, and he really just showed it to me through the brothers and sisters there. Whenever I'm hanging out with my friends back home, we're not always doing the best things, or we make really dumb decisions, and I just realized how many distractions there can be that keep me away from God. And then another thing Jason said, something about how the people at church, they're family, friends forever. I just realized the week I had with the brothers and sisters at the conference, it was like a lot more better and more fun in a way than all the time I spent with my friends at school, because I don't really make the best friends, and a lot of them can be really bad role models for me, so just really taught me how much I need to change and improve and work on myself and the people I'm surrounding myself with. And yeah.
All right, so. the benefit of going last is I get to cheat the time limit a little bit. So I'm Matthew. I had the privilege of going for my sixth time. But in a way, my first time, because it was such a different experience and such a different role for me. So I went as a chaperone, which was weird. And scary. And I felt out of place on day one, not going to lie. I felt very old in the presence of some of the ones that were there. But the Lord really dealt with that. He really took that away and brought a joy and a sincerity and a simplicity, as has been shared, into our time together that ones as old as Matt Graham and as young as 8th grade were able to share and worship together in a way that really touched my heart. So I want to share quite a few points from the conference just to give a better idea and to incorporate the points that have been shared by all of these other ones. And thankfully, to try to make it more understandable, I'm going to use last Sunday's message that all the adults heard as the guideline for it. So really, we just want to talk about how the Lord in that week met his people and showed us that we are repenters, that we are inquirers, that we are worshipers, and that we are builders. And in this first point of us as repenters, the Lord showed us, as has been shared, that conviction and condemnation are not the same thing. That the Lord convicts and he doesn't condemn. And that conviction is a call home. It's a call upwards. Condemnation is what the enemy brings to bring us down, to take us to that pit of despair, that point of depression. But that's not the Lord. And in those moments where we feel that tug that we've done something wrong, where we've known we've gone astray, we have to remember the Lord's bringing that conviction with joy to call us home. He is always looking to bring us into goodness and into holiness. And that is the point of his conviction. That's why it says in Proverbs 3:11-12, and all the parents love this verse, that the discipline of a father, this is the way the Lord disciplines us. It's in love, right? And also, as part of this, us as repenters, we see who the Lord is, that he is the one to whom we call out, as it says in Psalm 119:94, I am yours, save me. And in fact, that the Lord has said in Isaiah 43, I have called you by name, you are mine. Do we see that God is with us? He is Emmanuel. He is the anchor of our souls, the God of our life, and our lighthouse. That he is this one who loves us with that deep and everlasting love. And when we touch that love, when we really experience it, as we do in times like these conferences, it changes us. You know, and we realize how much more worth it that love is than anything else that we have, that we see, that we experience. And final point on us as repenters, it was brought up in I think the first night message, God says that he didn't buy part of us. He redeemed all of us. You know, we come as repenters, we come often with this part held back. But the joy comes when it's full surrender, when it's abandonment unto the Lord. And that the Lord says, you want my full provision, it's here, but I didn't buy part of you. I redeemed all of you, every part. And then this second point, God really showed us our role as inquirers and the joy that's in inquiring of him. As was brought up, and as is the case every time there's a youth conference, so please pray for Winter Retreat on this line too, there are always people who are coming because they were told to. There are always people who are coming but don't want to be there. They brought their body, but they did not bring their heart. But we really saw in that week that the Lord took these ones who may not have come with their heart, and he captured that heart. And he made seekers, and he made desirers out of these ones. And he lit a fire that nothing can put out. He lit a fire that it's so powerful and it's so life-changing, and we heard it on Sunday as ones who are terrified to open their mouths. I'm terrified to open my mouth on Sunday. Opened up, and we felt the Spirit of the Lord. And it's not something that can be replaced, because it's the fire that's brought only by the anointing of the Lord. And we also heard, though, that this inquiring is also a discerning inquisition. I don't know if I want to use that word, but we inquire with discernment. One of the keys throughout the workshop times was the difference between the voices that we have all around us. That there's this voice of truth, but then there's that quick and assuaging and skeptic voice that is the voice of Satan through all the voices of the world, through our social media, through our news, through the politics of this world, even through our studies, or through the things we love. It's this quick voice that comes in and tells us, you do this and it will bring you pleasure. You do this and it will bring you satisfaction. But we had that point that God is the I am. And that all the I wills in the world do not come close to I am. The fact that within his presence there is provision of every good thing all the time. And that is the difference between the I am and the empty promises of the I will. And finally, we were reminded of how important inquiring is, because as Jeremiah 17:9 says, and I should turn to it so I don't get it wrong, 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We were reminded that this world's always telling us, follow your heart. You know, follow what you feel and what you think. But when we listen to the Lord, sometimes it's not right away what we think we want. But I think the testimony of all of us who have followed the Lord for some time is that the I am has never let us down. And the things that we thought we wanted do not compare to what he is and what he brings to our life. And then thirdly, us as worshipers, and perhaps more than anything else, and I think this theme has come through the sharings, but more than anything else, I think this is what was recovered, because it was what was lost during COVID. It was what was lost when we weren't able to gather together. The Lord calls us to gather together because we were created to be corporate worshipers. We were created to be those who exalt the Lord. All of his creation was meant for that. And so how can we not raise up our voice? And we were reminded and we recovered this simplicity and this sincerity of worship, that we worship the Lord, we worship upward, vertically. But we see that when we worship, the Lord blesses all. He blesses all around. And for something as simple as just praising the Lord then returns to us with love and with rest. He washes our feet. The brothers and sister wash our feet. And it really readjusts our aspirations, our entire line of thinking and what we're aiming for. Because it brings us no longer the cares and the worries and the anxieties of this world. But it reminds us that we are in the hands of the everlasting lover of our soul. The love that will not let us go. And that is faithful to the end. And then fourthly, lastly, he reminded us that we are builders. That within his body, the brothers and sisters have a unique position to be the greatest help to one another. And as was shared even by William, for many of us, you know, at these times, or these conferences, what changes us is the word of God through a brother or a sister. It may not be the message, it may not be the workshop, but then that one word or that one attitude that a brother or sister has towards us reminds us that the love of the Lord through brothers and sisters is different from the love of anyone else. That those other loves do not compare to the relationships of love that the Lord forms among his people when we see our place as builders in his church. And that he does it through every age group. That it is not the old only that feed the young, but it's all of us that are able to wash each other's feet, that there is just as much blessing in hearing the one-sentence prayer of an eighth grader as there is in an hour-long message from an older brother. And he reminded us and caused us to see the truth of 1 Peter 2:9, that we are a peculiar people, that he created us as a peculiar people, and there is a preciousness to that. And so we come to see how can we encourage one another. And we come to see, as also was shared, that the spiritual gifts are containers of love to edify the church. I thought it was a great point, so I'll just bring it up real quick, that 1 Corinthians 13 is right in between chapters 12 and 14 that are about spiritual gifts. And there's no separating that all a gift is meant to do is bring love into the church, to build it up. And it just brings it in a different form, but it cannot be separated from that love. And so do we see that the Lord loves his gathered people and builds them up? And do we see that the young don't have just a future role in the church? They have a present one. They have a role that cannot be replaced by anyone else. They bring a simplicity and a preciousness that cannot be replaced by anyone else. And we lose out when we forget that. We lose out when you, the young, don't take hold of that position that you have to bring. And I just want to quickly end with these verses out of Ephesians 4. Thanks. See, all these guys are trying to hold back tears when they share. It's just, sometimes you just let them flow, guys. It's okay. I feel like I do it every time I share. Out of Ephesians 4. Familiar verses, but I'll paraphrase a little bit, just starting in verse 14. We should no longer be children. I'm going down to 15. But speaking the truth in love, grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, the old creaky joints and the young joints, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, that causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So may we see, may we recover that we are repenters, that we are inquirers, that we are worshipers, that we are builders, and that this is our purpose. And this is what life is about. And it's not about anything less. And that all joy and all satisfaction comes in this. And I think the testimony of many is that what they loved before the conference, what they spent the most time on was that phone. But during the conference, they found a joy and a gladness, even though they didn't see it for 5 straight days. Probably the longest they'd gone without it in quite a while. But there was a joy that could not be replaced by anything else. There was a joy that overcame it because we found and we're reminded of our purpose and our place and of the Lord who loves us and created us and redeemed us. So, with that, I just want to close with a quick word of prayer before turning it over to William. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we are created with purpose. We thank you that you gather us together. You put us together with one another. Because alone we stumble and fall, but together by what every joint supplies, you build, Lord. You build a church that is golden, that is a lampstand to the world, that is something to be treasured. And you do it with every part and every portion. So we bring our portion to you, Lord. We do not despise another's, and we do not despise our own portion, but we bring it to you, that you would build us up, that as we repent, you would call us home. We would see that home is a wonderful place to be. Lord, that you would light that fire in our hearts, that we would inquire always of you and see that reliance upon you makes us strong. Lord, that we would be reminded of the rest we find when we worship at your feet, when we remember that you hold all things in your hand and that you are a good, good Father, a worthy Lord, and the Almighty King. So we just thank you, Lord, for the work you have done, the the work you are doing, and the work we know you will continue, for you have promised that what you have begun, you will complete. So we just exalt you and pray in your most precious name, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
A little bit organized. We're going to count off.